All right, let's get to it now. And we mentioned the top receiver. Let's get to the top running back. We've been talking about our all-time winners. Time to check in with the running back winner. A second-round pick in 2006. Won the League MOP Award in 2013. Three times as the top Canadian. Three times All-CFL. Came close to the single-season team rushing record. And even threw in a 200-yard game for good measure. He's in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, and John Cornish joins us now. And John, first of all, I guess congratulations and your reaction to our online poll. The fans have selected you the Stampeders' best running back ever.
Oh, well, it's always nice to win an online poll. Like, yeah, it's always nice to actually hear your voice and do these interviews, man. Like, it's always a nice throwback to my old playing days.
There you go. Well, you won it quite handily there, and very nice to know you're remembered for the achievements that you had. And, John, just going back through your career, taking a look at things, you came in as a rookie. You didn't get a lot of time, as it goes with most rookies, but you got more and more time. You made your bones on special teams. You really took pride in that. Maybe you'll take us through that before you turned into the star running back that you were.
Oh, well, yeah. You know we're doing well, Mark. Yeah, that's my favorite thing to talk about. I am a special teams player at heart. I remember my very first full week of football practice in grade 8. I had 4 days of offense and defensive practice, offense and defense. Then on the fifth day, we practiced special teams. What is this? What is this going on? What is this? This is part of football? I get to run 40 meters and hit somebody? Oh, man. Like, after that day, while my actual kick-returning, punt-returning skills never quite got off the ground, you can't take anything away from just being able to run full speed and hit somebody. You don't get 40 yards to run at somebody ever in real life. And I'm not a person that enjoys hitting people either. But it was just like, as part of the game of football, having that opportunity, you block for your punter. You have to outthink one guy. Later in my career, it was two guys or three guys often trying to block me. And it's that mini strategy of the special teams. I know when I was in college, I think my junior year, so I was just starting to get my starting position as a running back. But in my junior year, I was one of the top players in all the NCAA in terms of special team tackles. And I took the most pride in that. You know, these guys going to the NFL and all this kind of stuff blocking me. No, I'm going to get my tackle. And sort of just carried that same kind of spirit into the CFL.
Very interesting. I didn't realize, I never heard you articulate the passion that way. So let me throw this one at you, but then particularly as it applies to the NFL and NCAA football, not so much in the CFL, because there are kick and punt returns on a more regular basis, but nothing is more boring than watching that parade of kick touchbacks in the NFL and NCAA. Should they go with the XFL return rule, where the cover team lines up at the 30, the return team at the 30, the kicker's back on the other 30, kicks it off, the guy catches it. As soon as you touch it, away you go. So there's going to be a return. I like the looks of that, and that might just fit into your, contact or be contacted rule.
Well, so you can see the sort of the mindset of the special teams players. If you're running a kickoff, you have your team that's kicking off. They're running down the field. They still carry through the end zone like that player kicked it, and they're running down the field as quickly as possible. Now, the difference being is that they aren't taking the hits that they would otherwise take. And I think that is somewhat of value on the smaller size of the NFL field. And that would be the key difference, I think. I think that's when, Coach Huffnagel always said, you win football three ways. You win the turnover battle, you win the penalties battle, and then you win the special teams battle. And the special teams in the CFL is a lot different concept. I mean, if you have the two and out, then you're kicking back and forth, right? So I do think, fundamentally it's part of the game up here. But they're finding ways to sort of make it work. I mean, I've watched a few games recently, and there have been a few kickoffs. And honestly, the kick returner, like, I boldly see, like, this guy get blown away. And, the athleticism that's present in the NFL, I think, maybe you're right, Mark. Maybe we just bump back the tee for the kicking off team in the NFL, and then you see a ball sort of caught around the 5-yard line, 10-yard line. And maybe it's a little bit safer game. And they've already eliminated the double team that we still utilize in the CFL. So, there's different ways they could tweak it, but it would be nicer if it wasn't just, kick through the end zone, safe caught punt. You want to see a little bit more to special teams, because they aren't very special as it stands.
Well, no question. I mean, you know, there is more room in the CFL to maneuver on a kickoff. I mean, you know, not everybody's a Larry Taylor, but at least there's room for a Larry Taylor to run, right? So, whereas in the NFL and NCAA, when you catch the ball, you're almost pinned into a corner, aren't you, virtually?
No, absolutely. And, you know, thank you for reminding me of Larry Taylor, right? Like, you have, you know, truly one of the most remarkable runs I've ever seen. Now, this was a game that, like, I didn't get to watch too many of the Stampeders games on TV. But there was a game that I didn't play in Toronto. I think this was 2013. And he returned the ball, just annihilated everybody, and, you know, all dipping and weaving, going from one side to the other, getting all the way to the end zone. You know, like those are the reason why special teams is an important part of football. And you know, I think it would behoove this the NFL to sort of find ways to make it work rather than just having it be a sort of auxiliary part of the game.
Yeah, it's just a waste of time just to make guys run down the field 40 yards eight times. I mean, it's not all the work in the world, but if you can get off your feet and not do it, why bother? Yeah, Larry, by the way, he just contacted me a few weeks ago there. I guess he's got an insurance business set up in Dallas or something like that. So there you go.
Okay, so now you're the insurance mentor, Mark.
No, that's Larry's business. That's what he's doing in Dallas, Texas there. So good to hear from him. John, you were voted and had the productive career here, but we've, you know, maybe talked to the people about some of the running backs you admired. Who did you sort of try to integrate into your game?
Let's keep it maybe a little bit more CFL. I mean, NFL-wise, you have, Barry Sanders for sure. I always liked Eddie George, a very big, powerful back. And I like to think my game was sort of a blend of those two guys. But actually, CFL-wise, a guy I grew up watching, Mike Pinball Clements, right? For me, I mean, he was just that play-anywhere kind of player, receiver, running back. You could get him the ball however you wanted, and he was going to make big plays with that. And so he was definitely a guy like, I wish I could have become as good as Pinball, but you know, maybe that didn't work out so well. But there's other guys maybe I was a little bit closer to. When I think about my early days as a Stampeder, talk about Joffrey Reynolds. The number one thing Joffrey did was get upfield. If you see good players, NFL, CFL, college, you know, they catch the football, they're given the football, and they stick a foot in the ground, and they get 90 degrees up the field. They're going parallel with the sideline. Too often these days, I see guys running to the sidelines and stuff, and in NFL, actually, it's a big problem these days. These guys are just trying to run away from contact. And so definitely learned that from Joffrey. And then there's a few other guys. I would say my favorite running back in the CFL of all time would probably be I'm going back and forth right now, but I guess Brandon Whitaker. He might not have had the greatest numbers over his career, but you know, he was a guy like sort of like Larry Taylor in that he was untackleable, and he would get into weird positions, sort of look like he's going to get tackled, and then he just springs out of it. And so I think he sort of set the tone for me in terms of what I wanted to be. He had way better hands than I had. But I wanted to be that versatile player that, when you think he's going to get tackled, he's going to, spin out and make a big play. So, that's something I always aspired to.
Yeah, he was a tremendous player for a lot of years and certainly put up some big yards and big numbers, primarily for Toronto. He spent a lot of time with them and Montreal as well, so that's where he played. So, speaking with John Cornish, you voted on the Stampeders' top running back of all time based on the fan survey, so we're just discussing a few things. And John, team highlight, two Grey Cups. The first one, you weren't a centerpiece of it. You were an important part, but in the next one, you were an important part of it, but you're also injured. Take us through the two Grey Cups there.
Yeah, the first Grey Cup, going back to special teams, led the CFL in special team tackles. And I ended up not being a factor in that Grey Cup game in 2008 because I was getting double teamed the entire time. I mean, these are excuses, but I'm going to hold on to my excuses 12 years later. You know, like every single time I ran down the field, I had two guys blocking me out of bounds. And to give Montreal credit, they completely shut me down. But luckily, we did win that special teams battle. But, sort of looking at 2014, you know, I had to go into this game with a brave face, and, you know, just trying to make sure that nobody knew I was hurt. But what one thing that I've been a little bit more frank about more recently is in 2014 Western Final, have a huge 78-yard run. But I get tackled right at the end, sort of in the end zone, and I get there's a cart sitting there on the sidelines, and I get tackled directly into the cart. You know, I'm able to finish the game. Of course, there's a few times that I actually just spontaneously fall over in the game, and then I can barely walk the week of the 2014 Grey Cup. So not trying to let anybody know, they would change their game plan, and luckily they did. Hamilton did not change their game plan, because in the first half, they were dead set in stopping me. And, you know, they didn't know that I couldn't really do too much against them. And it actually helped us really get that decisive lead early on that we were able to carry out through the rest of the game.
Yep. And, well, somebody got the ball down to the end zone, so Drew Tate could punch it in twice. John, you mentioned, well, your first time you were the running back of record was the 2012 game in Toronto. So here's something that's always crossed my mind. Did Toronto have an inkling what you're going to call, because they seem to be right in the middle there? They seem to have, I don't know what the word would be, just some great intel there on what you were going to do.
Oh, in 2012. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we suspected. Yeah, you know, we went through different kinds of steps. We wore different jersey numbers on our jerseys to try to fake out what was supposedly Chris Jones with a video camera somewhere. You know, we practiced in weird facilities. Yeah, one thing, you know, if I could go back and do my career again, I would just try to play the Grey Cup in Calgary. I really liked my routines at home. They're all really nice. And going on the road to Vancouver, to Toronto, you know, it was tough. You know, you're playing in a city you don't know. There's an informational sort of disadvantage because you have 20 games to play. There's only so many running games you can have. I would say 2012. You know, honestly, doesn't normally factor into my thought process, because I've always believed that you need a certain set of features to win a Grey Cup. And if, like, for me personally, like, you know, we had killed it going into the Grey Cup game, but, you know, they just, you know, I always say this, you know, you win the Grey Cup based off of the storyline. And for me personally, and maybe this affected my approach to the game, but, you know, when you are the Toronto Argonauts, and it is the 100th Grey Cup, I just sort of feel like there's something, there's a different kind of momentum that we can't just manifest on the football field. There's something else helping carry you to that win. And, you know, much love to Ricky Ray coming through with two Grey Cups, like almost vengeance for us keeping them in check here in Calgary when he was in Edmonton. But he came up with two really strong Grey Cup performances against us. And, you know, I don't think in either case we were really expecting that.
No, the 1-12, I think that for one day anyway, Toronto became a huge Argos city, and you were fighting the whole city, not just the Argos. So but that was a tough time. John, just for those that aren't aware what you're up to, where's your career path taking you now?
Yeah, so as I was playing, I was working in a major bank and working my way up the ladder, and I became a financial advisor after I retired. And thankfully, I had this all set up because, you know, maybe my retirement wasn't fully planned out. But, you know, I intended to sort of retire at the after the 2015 season. It turned out that decision was sort of made for me. And then, I just continued my way up at TD Wealth, Private Investment Council, where I worked with a series of chartered financial analysts, like really, really well-to-do investment counselors, and I learned how to manage money. And then sort of carrying on from there, I went to a small shop to learn family office work, and now I've been at RBC for the last year, doing work with my wife as an investment advisor, providing, you know, customized wealth solutions for my clients.
There you go. Well, lots going on and off the field. John, congratulations on this award as selected by the fans. Great to catch up with you, and we will certainly stay in touch.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mark, and all the best.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, John. John Cornish joining us, your choice for the Stampeders all-time running back. He brought up a great story. I've got to get to it. It's the story of the welder. We'll get to that right after this timeout.